what I'm actually giving the lesson on is called the Christian Course. And last week he said something along the lines of everyday life we go through things, and if we can relate those to things in the Bible, then we can better understand it, because we don't exactly understand what heaven's going to be like. It's just going to be so amazing, and it's compared to mansions, gold streets, stuff like that. Stuff that we see every day and that we actually understand, even though it's not going to be like that. It's going to be so much better. And I hope I put that in good words. That's kind of foggy about what I just said there. But the Christian course, so what I'm going to be comparing it to is I'm in college right now, and basically I've been going to school my whole life, so that's kind of what I'm thinking about right now. And I'm going to be comparing similarities of how college or high school or stuff like that compares to our Christian course. And before we go any further, I just want to mention that this isn't against anybody that who hasn't been to school. This is not about that. I'm just trying to make it to where we can kind of understand it a little better, because school is a common topic for a lot of us. And it's I'm not trying to say, oh, you have to go to school. That's not what this is about. We do need the Christian course, though, and that's what it's all about. So, like I said, they're similar in a few aspects. And the first thing that we really got to do is we have to enroll in the course. And really, on your first year of college, you might hear stories about people who go to the wrong class. And that has always been like a big fear of mine. I do not want to show up in the wrong class. And I would probably be one of those people who sits in the back corner and does not leave, because I don't want people to know I'm in the wrong class. But here's the thing. If you're in the wrong class, if you're going to the wrong denomination or something like that, if we're not following what the Bible's telling us to do, don't sit there. Get up and find what the Bible's telling you to do. Go find the right church. Go find the church. And I just wanted to say that because we're not going to get the goal at the end. If you sit in a class that you're not enrolled in, you're not getting that credit at the end of the semester. Even if you've done all the work for some reason, you're still not getting that credit. And the same thing goes here. We have to enroll in the course to actually get the credit. And that reward for us in the Christian course will be heaven. And that's what we all strive for. So enroll in the course. And first of all, like, why do we need Christianity? That would be the first question of somebody who hasn't started enrolling in the course or hasn't started going through it. And the biggest thing is we need it because we don't want to go to hell at the end of our life. That's definitely a fear of mine, and I hope it is for y'all too. And we need to strive towards heaven also, not just in fear of hell. But that is why we need it, and Jesus Christ, He lived perfectly. He lived a perfect life in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. Read it. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. He lived a perfect life, and then he went on to die for our sins, and that's found in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And he did. He died for our sins, and that's why we're here today. If he didn't do that, then we would have no reason to be here. We wouldn't be saved from our sins. There would be no possibility. And so now that we kind of have it clarified, well, why do we even need Christianity? Of course, it's heaven. Of course, it's to serve Jesus. What's the correct course? Because if you walk out these doors right now and you go either way, you're going to run into different denominations anywhere you go. And they all really teach something different. I mean, we teach something different than them too, and we hope that it's by the Bible. And if we're teaching something that's not by the Bible, we do encourage you to step up and say something about it, because at the end of this life, we want to be right. We don't want to be the person standing up here who's saying something that's wrong, and at the end, everything we've done in this life, it really doesn't even matter. So what is the correct course? And I'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5. Clarify things up a little bit. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5. Or we'll back it up to verse 4 and we'll go in through 6. Chapter 4, verse 4 through 6. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. So there, especially in verse 5, one faith, there's only one thing. There's only one thing that can be taught that is really the correct course. And that's going to be specifically out of the Bible. And we'll go to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8 for this point. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let them be accursed. And what they were teaching then was inspired by God. And they said, if anybody teaches something different, something contrary to what we have here, they are to be accursed from God. There's not going to be another gospel that comes up. We were in the Old Testament, or we weren't. There was the Old Testament with the Hebrews, and they went through that. And when it was done away with Jesus' death on the cross, and the New Testament came up, that was done away with. And from right there, we know that there's not going to be anything else. So if we determine that what we have here is never going to change, and it's never going to be something else, then we can go off what this says, what the Bible says, and we can find out what the course is, what the right faith is, because there's only one. And then in Acts 17, verse 11, we hear a lot about the Bereans, how they studied to see if things were true. And we need to be doing that today. We need to be listening to every preacher and seeing if what they're saying is right. Because, again, we want to be right at the end of this life by what the Bible says. We can't be standing on our own word on the judgment day because it's not going to hold up. We're to follow this one faith. And now we'll kind of dive into what this one faith is and kind of how you actually enroll in the course of Christianity. And, of course, at the end of Sean's lesson, you always see the steps that pop up. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and walk in newness of life. And that's the building stones for our for being saved. And Acts 2:38 is a good place to start there because it goes through all of those. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, and I'm sure many of us have heard this before, but it's good to look at it and really get some out of it. And I'll back up to verse 36, and we'll go 36 through 39. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said to them, Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So back in verse 36, they're told that they were the ones who crucified Christ and that he was their Savior that they've been looking for this whole time. So right then, they heard it. And then in verse 37, they were cut to their heart. So obviously, they believed the things that were being taught. And according to that, that's really a big key of what we have to do today. When you go to class at college, some parents really, they're really want their kids to go, and college isn't for everybody, I'll say that, and if you don't want to be there, then you're not going to try as hard, and your grades probably aren't going to be good. It's not something that can really be forced to make people go to do, but especially Christianity, it's really not something that we can force somebody to do. We can't just grab somebody out of their seat and baptize them. It's not going to work like that. Because if they don't want to do it, then they're not going to do the stuff that God wants them to do. And that's the basis of it. We have to believe in what we've, in what the Bible says, and that Jesus did die for us. And I think that while this part of the lesson, it's really focused on those who haven't been baptized yet, I think that those who have been baptized, I think we need to think back on our decision and see if we made the right decision there, or if we were doing it because our parents wanted us to, or because a friend wanted us to. And that's a really important part, because we have to be wholly dedicated to this, to the Word of God. And if we're not, then we need to make that right. So just keep that in mind, be thinking about that. And if you have no doubt in your mind that you made the right decision in following the Word of God, then you should be good. But if you have some doubts, then let's make that right. So they also had to repent. Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." So also be baptized right there. And in this particular spot, they don't specify confessing, but we go to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, and we'll see that. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Which that goes along with repentance too. We need to, how we do it, we confess Jesus is the Son of God, and we also are to confess our sins. And we can't take any of these parts out of the Bible. We have to put it all together, because there's not just one book of this Bible that's right. It's all right. It's all joined in some way, shape, or fashion, and it all goes together. So don't take just a little bit out of it. Just go by what you want to be said. I think Sean said in his lesson this morning that we are to really just kind of, it might have been a class this morning, but it just kind of take everything that is in the Bible. We can't make anything fit that doesn't really fit. We can't take a verse and add stuff to it. We can't take away from it. And we can't just bend it to our own way that we want it to be shaped. And that's a really important part. We got to focus on that, and we got to be sure that we aren't changing things. And if for any reason that you have any concerns and you think that we are bending something, then again, speak up, because we want to be right. And we want to go by what the Bible says. But also, we are to walk in the newness of life in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. "Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So when we go through these steps, this really fits in to repent and be baptized too. It says to be baptized, but when we repent, what we do is we turn away from those sins and we don't do them anymore. And that's walking in newness of life. That's when we come up out of being baptized, and right then we start our new life. We're a new creature in Christ. And we have to keep striving to do what God would have us to do. And we go to Romans 3:23 and 6:23, both of those saying, yeah, we sin and we know that we sin. But the thing is that we got to try not to sin. Just because we're not perfect doesn't mean we shouldn't strive to be perfect. So, again, Christianity isn't something we accidentally walk into or forced into. It's of our own free will. And I want to turn back to Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14, and we'll kind of look at some verses here and go along with that. If I can get to it, my Bible's not wanting to turn right now. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14. Alright, verse 14. "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord." So at the beginning of the verse, it says, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and truth. What we need to be doing is when we serve Him, we have to be doing it wholeheartedly. And we can't just be, I'm doing it just for show. We can't be like that. We have to do it in sincerity and truth because that's what He desires. And we also see in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5 is another verse that goes along with this concept. And it reads, now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. So, pure heart, and that goes with both the love and the sincere faith. We have to be doing these things wholeheartedly, and we can't just be doing them whenever we want to do them. We have to do them all the time, and we have to do them with the intent that we want to serve God. And so, if you started in the wrong class and you're kind of realizing that right now, like I said, don't sit in that class. Get up and get in the right class and enroll in the right one. And now we kind of know how to do that. We've went through the steps that are necessary, and you can enroll in the right class. So now, after we've been baptized or after we've went through the steps and walking in newness of life, what does walking in newness of life consist of? And for that, we have to study. Study and be here at our services whenever possible. Because that's one of the best ways that we're actually going to grow in our knowledge of Christ. And studying is just, I can't express how important it is in school. I know that there's some people who they go through and they don't study at all and they make all A's. But take somebody, you think in your head, take somebody who has never had any medical experience whatsoever. All right. And now you give them the things that they need to perform surgery on you. Let's say they're going to replace your liver or something like that. They've had no knowledge, no teaching of this whatsoever. They have no idea how to do it. You're going to let them do surgery on you? Absolutely not. I'm not going to. You might, but it's really important because there's things that we have to know, and we have to be ready to stand up for the Word of God whenever the chance arises, because the thing is, we're not going to know when that chance is going to arise. And we need to be prepared, because that could be the only chance that we have to say, well, this is what the Bible says, and let's turn to it and let's look at it. And we may not get that second opportunity. So studying is a crucial part. And 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 is one of the verses that we use a lot to look at the studying. And it says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I believe in the King James it says to study to show thyself approved. But either way, we need to be diligent. And if we're rightly dividing the word of truth, well, we can't divide it if we don't know what it says. And that's the key part. And one big way to really study is just grab your Bible and just read through it and kind of take your time with it. Don't just rush through it. I know that with the start of a year, there's these plans where you can read the whole Bible, and that's good. We do need to be reading our Bible, but really take the time and learn what you're actually reading. Don't just read through it and say, okay, yeah, that's good, and forget it the next time you go to read. Actually get something out of it. Even if it's only one verse at a time, at least you're gaining something out of it. So we have to be able to divide the word of truth and know what God expects out of us. And really, we need to know what He defines as sin. But more or less, we need to know what He tells us to do so we know what not to do. Because if He told us what not to do, this Bible, we couldn't even carry it. It'd be impossible. We'd be, I don't know, I guess hauling it in the back of a truck to church every time. And we can't do that. It's just not going to happen. So we need to know what He wants us to do. And also, attending church services, we're commanded to do so in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. And many of us know that's not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. And the reason for that is because, in my opinion, especially in discussion classes, when you read a verse, sometimes you think that it says this one way, and maybe you've actually missed the point on it. or maybe there's another point that you're not seeing. And it's really good to get other people's input on it, because there's always something there that maybe you just overlooked, and it could really help you with understanding the verse. But also, when somebody gets up here in the pulpit and preaches a lesson, they could be teaching something that you have no knowledge on, or something that you need to be refreshed on. And there's just a whole bunch of information out there during our services for you to grab and hold on to. And it also encourages us to come back stronger. And it's really uplifting to attend services, especially on like Wednesday night when maybe you're run down because it's the middle of the week and you just really kind of don't feel like going maybe. But you decide to go anyways, and you're going to feel glad that you went. I've never left a service just wishing I hadn't been there. It's just not going to happen. And also going along with that is that if Christians come here, there's no way that they can leave here and have less knowledge than what they came in with. It's just not going to happen. If you're losing knowledge in church, then you got to figure something out. There's something wrong going on there. So be paying attention and be trying to gain more knowledge. Study and be prepared for when situations come up where you have to defend the Word of God or to know what you need to do to serve God. Because at the end, we do want the reward of heaven. And that's going to be the final point, is receiving the reward. And in college, at the end of it all, after you've taken all of the classes that you need, and if you made good enough grades in them, there's only one thing that can happen, and you receive your reward. But if you don't do those things, and if you don't go to class, and if you don't make the right grades, then you're not going to get it. But the good thing about college is that maybe you didn't get it this semester, and you can go back. The thing with Christianity is that we don't get a second chance. After we die from this life, there is no going back. We can't change the things that we did. And we'll have a few stories to look at in the Bible that go along with that. But just remember that while we have second chances in this life for everything, we don't have second chances for Christianity. And that's a big thing. So just be ready. Be ready if the Lord ever does come back during our life, but also be ready, because you never know when you walk out these doors if it's going to be your last day. We're not promised tomorrow, so just be ready. And by studying, we should be prepared if we apply what we learn. And in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, "We're appointed to die once, and after that, the judgment." Right after we are appointed to die, that's it. We're going to judgment. And there's no changing what you've done. You can't go back. And the scripture reading that was read right before the lesson, it says that the narrow gate is hard to find, and few enter in by it. And that's true, because a lot of people think, well, I'm over here, I'm doing this thing, and it'll be all right. I can just do what I want to, as long as I love God, as long as I serve God the best way that I want to, then I'll be okay. But that's not true, because if it was like that, there would be a lot of people going to heaven, and the gates wouldn't be narrow. It would be a little bit broader. So again, let's be sure that we study. And Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, we read that a lot. And for those who say that, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out demons in your name, prophesied in your name? And he's going to say, "Depart from me, I knew you not." Because they weren't doing what he actually wanted them to do. So we really have to study, and we have to know what he wants us to do. And I know I'm kind of beating that point into the ground, but it's really important, because you don't want to be there on the last day saying, "Well, I thought I did this for you, and was it not good enough?" Because if it's not according to this, to the Bible, it's not going to be good enough. And we just have to be careful about that. We need to be reading our Bibles and studying and learning. Then we'll go to Luke chapter 16, 19 through 31. And if you would, go ahead and turn over there, because it'll be a little bit of a lengthy reading. Luke chapter 16, 19 through 31. And this is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And we'll read from it, and we'll try to learn a little bit from it. Verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So right here we see that both men have passed, Lazarus and the rich man, and they've been carried off to two different places. The rich man, it says he's been carried off to torment, and the Lazarus, it says he's been carried to Abraham's bosom. And so we'll go ahead and see what happens next. In verse 24, then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. And that's really the key verse that we're looking at here, is that there's a great gulf that you can't cross. Once they were set in these positions, there was no crossing over, which Lazarus, he wouldn't want to go to torment anyways, but the rich man, he was tormented so much by the flames, he just wanted a little bit of water from Lazarus. And if he could, I know he'd want to go to Abraham's bosom and be out of this torment, because why would you want to be tormented for forever, for eternity, which is the alternative if we don't make heaven? There is no in-between place that we're looking for here. There's not a place that's just, it's okay, it's not good, it's not bad. There's only heaven and there's only hell. We're not given a third option there. The neither good nor bad is often, I think, referred to as purgatory in some denominations. And we don't really have a sign of that. All we have is heaven and all we have is hell. So we'll keep reading in verse 27. And it says, he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. And that sums up that reading right there. And the thing is that if anybody, when they pass from this life, if they're in torment, we can't really communicate with them. But I know that they wouldn't want us to end up there with them. That's not something that that people who really care for their family, they wouldn't want them to be hurting too. And the rich man, he's just trying to find some way to save his family because he knew he had no other options. But the last verse says, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, then they will not be persuaded from one that rises from the dead. And we sure aren't going to see somebody rise from the dead today. Those miracles are done with, and we're just not going to see that. And there's not going to be somebody come back and say, you better change your ways. What you're doing is wrong. You don't want to end up where I'm at. And that's something that we really got to remember, is that once we take our final breath here, or the Lord does come back, then that's our last day. That's our last chance, and it's over. There is no other chance. So really, we just got to prepare before that. Don't stay up the night before studying all you can like some people do in college, because it's really not helpful. You really forget a bunch of the stuff that you study, and you can't really apply it to your life. So study ahead. Be ready for that test. Be ready even if they happen to move that test up on you. But like I said, we don't know when our day is for Christianity, so just be ready. We need to understand that we don't know when the Lord will come back or when we will die. Our life is like a vapor in James chapter 4 and verse 14. It's short is what that's saying, and we don't have a second chance. You see water and at max, it might stay outside for a couple days. If it's summer, if it's August or something like that, and it's probably probably going to be gone in a few minutes. It's not going to stay very long. And our life is just like that. It's not very long, and we don't have very many opportunities to change our lives and to get on the right path. So we need to be sure we're ready today. And if you've been touched by this lesson anyway, if you realize, well, maybe I'm not enrolled in the right course, or maybe I'm just not ready, then let's make that right today. Let's not wait. Let's not push our luck, so to speak, and hope that the Lord doesn't come back till we find a more convenient season, because we may not get that season, and we just need to be ready now. There's no point in waiting. So where do you want to go? That's my final question. Do you want to end up in heaven, or do you want to end up in hell? And that's, for me, that's an easy question. I want to end up in heaven. And we have to put in the work to get there. We have to study and be sure that what we're going through is what the Lord actually wants us to do, because we don't want to be standing there on the last day saying, Lord, didn't we do these things for you? And He says, depart from me, I know you not. So if you have a need, then please come forward as we stand and sing our song of invitation.